For WKU Public Radio, I'm Becca Schimmel. When State Representative Jeff Hoover was accused of sexual harassment and found guilty of an ethics violation, he admitted only that he exchanged sexually charged text messages with a staffer. But a new investigation by the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting and Kentucky Public Radio shows that the allegations were more serious and the legislature's ethics watchdog knew about them. Capitol reporter Rylan Barton has new details about what officials knew when they decided to settle the case with Hoover last year.
This is all Representative Hoover had to say last April when he publicly admitted that he broke ethics rules for Kentucky's elected lawmakers.
I have from day one acknowledged publicly, privately, that the text message bantering that I engaged with a staffer was inappropriate.
He made the admission as part of a settlement with the Legislative Ethics Commission, which oversees ethics complaints made against lawmakers.
I acknowledge that technically that would violate the ethics statute.
He said that the inappropriate behavior went no further than that. But the former staffer alleged that Hoover repeatedly groped her, touching her breasts and genitals, and sexually harassing her while she worked as a communications staffer for House Republicans. Our investigation found that while the public never heard those details, the Legislative Ethics Commission did.
We'll call the meeting back into order.
When the commission held hearings in April 2018, all the public knew was that Hoover and three other Republican lawmakers had paid the woman $110,000 as part of a settlement to keep her from suing. By the end of the proceedings, the public saw text messages that showed flirtatious conversations between Hoover and the woman, and they heard that apology from Hoover. But the public never heard from the woman. Her settlement included a confidentiality agreement. The Ethics Commission could have compelled her to testify with a subpoena, and her lawyer said she was prepared to, but the commission never did so. Meanwhile, Hoover said nothing went on besides the text messages.
Absolutely 100%. Nothing more than text messages.
But according to a letter the woman's lawyer sent to Hoover threatening to sue in October 2017, she said she was, quote, living in fear and subordination because of Hoover's alleged harassment. She offered a detailed timeline of her claims, saying he repeatedly groped and harassed her throughout the more than 2 years she worked there. KYCIR obtained a copy of the letter, which has never been made public, partly because the Ethics Commission agreed to keep it out of their files.
A demand letter is nothing more than a lawyer's narrative about what they would like the facts to be.
That's Hoover's attorney, Leslie Vose.
In this particular case, if that document becomes public record, I don't think anyone can look past that to what the facts are.
Mike Malone was the Ethics Commission's prosecutor during the Hoover proceedings. He agreed with Vose's request to keep the letter out of the public record. During one of the ethics hearings last April, he said he didn't think it was admissible.
I was not prepared to make the decision to issue this subpoena and get into this battle over this letter when I have really no good reason to suspect that there's anything in this letter that is something I need to see.
Malone declined to be interviewed for this story. Records show he read the former staffer's demand letter after he promised he wouldn't disseminate its contents. He spoke with her twice, but the commission never called her to testify, so the public never heard her side of the story. In her demand letter, the former staffer named one lawmaker and several co-workers she said were aware of Hoover's alleged behavior, but none of them were called to testify in the case. Hoover's former chief of staff, Ginger Wills, was one of the three people who gave sworn testimony. She was deposed before the hearing, so the commission wasn't there to hear it. Over more than 2 hours, she didn't face any questions about the secret settlement, even though she signed it along with the lawmakers, and she denied that she knew anything about the allegations.
I'm insulted, honestly, that someone would think that I wouldn't address that, and as a female and a mother of a daughter, I would have absolutely addressed it.
The other two witnesses testified about human resources policy in the legislature and the reason the complaint was filed, and then Malone proposed settling the case.
The lady never was called to answer any questions.
Pat Freibert is a former state representative and the only woman on the commission at the time. She voted against settling the case, the only commission member to do so.
Of course, we had her texts, and the texts invited many questions.
In a recent interview, the commission's chair, Anthony Wilhoit, wasn't clear on whether the commission knew about the woman's more serious accusations.
Let's assume that we did know about that he had groped her on occasion. what difference would that make?
But Will Hoyt would have had access to the staffer's allegations because they were included in a memo the commission members received before the hearing. Will Hoyt says that even if the commission had been aware of her full allegations, Hoover's punishment wouldn't have been very different.
I mean, we don't exist just to make news. We exist to take care of ethics problems. He was punished pretty darn heavily.
The Ethics Commission's prosecutor negotiated a settlement with Hoover. The punishment was a $1,000 fine and a public reprimand. Will Hoyt said the commission settled to keep the case from dragging on. He says commissioners also wanted to spare the woman who accused Hoover the embarrassment of testifying. But the commission did provide Hoover with one more venue to discuss his version of events, that he only exchanged text messages. For Kentucky Public Radio, with reporting from KYCIR's R.G. Dunlop, I'm Ryland Barton.